Wake up, Andre. Let's get this party started.
Trey is awake. What are you talking about? I thought you said you wake up. You're not adjusting your radio. It's a different day. But still the same thing.
Oh, no, no.
That's right. What a man.
That's what Thursday night is.
Night.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's a franchise.
I always love that intro, man. If you can't get hype, man, of course, I don't know what's going on in your world. But, of course, welcome to Talking
Sports. It's football season, folks.
Yeah, we got to get out. We got to get this party started, man. Of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. And, of course, we're in a special Thursday night edition of the show. Today is obviously Thursday, August 30th. And we have a lot of fun things to talk about on this college football night, man. Everyone's excited. Football is in the air. Let's jump right into it. We'll talk about the things we're going to discuss for tonight's show. Of course, I always set the table. And as mentioned, college football is here. We're going to talk about me and Robert's championship picks for a couple divisions for the SEC, for the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC. We're also going to talk about some top 25 matchup predictions for week one. Pretty exciting news. Obviously, it was a close game if you were watching South Carolina and Vanderbilt. They played them well, but South Carolina actually survived that scare. We're going to talk about the 12-man league. We've got a lot of things going on with 12-man. We got our fantasy football league. We got our college pick'em league. We got survival football. We got a lot of things to talk about that. And it's still not too late to join up if you want to join us for that, obviously. We discussed Notre Dame, some options. Somebody said that they needed some more players with an edge and some bad citizens to win. We'll talk about that. Talk about the Jaguars, what they're going to do with Maurice Jones-Drew. The NFL is using replacement rush for week one and a lot of NFC predictions, so we are setting the table. Robert Ford, how are you doing today, man?
Doing great, man, doing great. As football season is here, we got a lot to talk about. As you can see, we have a football-heavy show for you tonight. First of all, I want to give our prayers and thoughts out to some of the people that's going through Hurricane Isaac. Especially some of those cities surrounding New Orleans, like Slidell and Plaquemines Parish, that had to go through quite a bit here these last couple of days here. Isaac was a stubborn storm. Most of the time, these storms come on through in one day, but this joker just decided to come and sit for 2 days before moving on out the way. So, everything is good, and New Orleans metro area should be back to normal here in the next day or two. But let's move on forward and let's get right on into the show. What we got here first, Dre?
We're talking about obviously our picks for the division. And before we talk about that real quick, for those that want to call into the show, it would be my obviously honor to give out the number 424-243-9519. If anyone is up and wants to add their thoughts, obviously to call us in and also follow us via Twitter and on Facebook at 12th Man, the number 12 Man. Sports as well. And real quick, Rob, I want to talk about real quick, quick surprise. Andy Roddick has kind of caught us off guard deciding to retire from tennis. So, obviously kind of a shock, young guy, but I guess his biggest move is actually netting Brooklyn Decker. So good for him, and I want to give a shout out to him as well. So, just a quick sports note for that as well.
Surprise. You know, he's only 30 years old. He's the last American man to win a major in tennis. And so when men's tennis in America have been kind of down here the last few years, but he is the last American man to win a major in tennis, and he's only 30 years old. But we have some young potential prospects who's going to be able to carry the throat here for men's American tennis here in America, and hopefully Andy Roddick can help them to get to that next step. So congratulations to him on a solid career. Only 30 years old, but he's going to go ahead and hang it up here after the U.S. Open.
Good for him. All right, let's talk about some college football here. It's definitely exciting times. And we're going to talk about, we're going to pick our division winners for each of the couple of divisions. And obviously, I think last week we discussed a little bit about the Big 12, so we're going to talk about, let's jump into the Pac-12, Rob. And obviously, we don't have a lot of time to go in depth as we would like, but you know, obviously, let's talk about your thoughts as far as who you think you're going to pick. And obviously, I'm going USC, University of Southern California. Obviously, they're bringing a big-time quarterback, Matt Barkley, a Heisman candidate as well. I think they're reloading and they get a great talent in Silas Red, the transfer from Penn State. So like I said, this team seems kind of primed to make their move after serving a couple probationary periods, so they're definitely up there. I think Stanford has some challenges too, obviously getting the quarterback, but we'll see how it plays out. But that's who I have picking the Pac-12, and would love to hear your thoughts, Mr. Ford.
Well, I think this is an easy one. By far, USC is the best team in the Pac-12. I don't think it's going to be close. I mean, you can make a case for the Oregon Ducks, but I think the Oregon is going to have a redshirt freshman quarterback this year. USC has a lot of experienced quarterback, Matt Barkley, who we both predicted on last week to be the Heisman Trophy winner. They're loaded at wide receiver, and now they got an established running back. May have been the only weakness on their team, but Lane Kiffin goes out and gets Silas Red from Penn State. I mean, this team could very well not only win the Pac-12, I know we're going to get to some national championship predictions here shortly, but they are a strong candidate to be a national champion as well. But by far, will be the Pac-12 champion. This is a team that can very well go undefeated. So I definitely think we're on the same page, USC Pac-12 champions.
Good to hear. And also we'll talk about their shots, too, as a national champion. Obviously, you know, it's kind of tough with the SEC with, you know, schools like LSU and Alabama and Georgia, a lot of tough schools. But we'll see how that plays out as the season runs along. And obviously I'm saving the best for last. Let's jump into Big Ten. This was kind of tough for me, Robert. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, as much as I'd like to be an aficionado as far as college football, I had some trouble picking this because there's a lot of two schools in the same state that kind of were tough for me. And obviously I'm looking at Michigan State and Michigan. And I think I would kind of give the edge a little bit to Michigan State. I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts about this and kind of who you think would actually emerge from the Big Ten.
Well, this is definitely a tough one for me as well. Most people are predicting Michigan to be the favorite in the Big Ten. I like Wisconsin. I like baseball. I think this is a program that's always solid year in and year out. Play solid fundamental football. Nothing spectacular. They play great in the trenches, offense and defensive line. They run the ball. Solid fundamentals. I like Wisconsin to win the Big Ten this year. Even though Michigan is the favorite, I'm sure we'll get to see what kind of team Michigan has. We're going to talk about that game here in a little bit in our top 25 predictions, Michigan against Alabama. But I like Wisconsin to come out of the Big Ten. I don't look for them to be a national title contender, but I like them to win the Big Ten title.
It's kind of interesting, too, because a lot of things that we kind of based upon the quarterback play. And if you look at Wisconsin, you know, obviously they got a new quarterback as Daniel Bryan, so I guess he's going to have a lot of targets. And they're definitely going to, you know, obviously lean on Monte Ball to kind of do his thing too. So that's the kind of the question I have with them as far as that. I mean, obviously, you know, Daniel Bryan's going to have a shot. He's got a lot of weapons, but they're going to have to prove that he can actually do a good job with that particular team. So we'll definitely see how that plays out coming into the, like you said, as the season rolls along as well. All right, let's talk about the ACC. This was another tough one, and unfortunately, sometimes I go with my heart a lot. Last year, FSU Florida State was kind of like the pick everyone was going. Then they were kind of like the hot, sexy pick. I'm not sure if that's still the case today. I mean, obviously, had a lot of injuries last year, the quarterbacks, and just kind of fell short for a lot of expectations. So there's a lot of there's a toss up here. There's a lot of teams that can be up there. From Clemson, from Virginia Tech, my dark horse in Georgia Tech, you know, that's just my heart pick. So, you know, kind of leaning towards everything, too. I may say Clemson just because of all the talent they have. But I'm sure this is a wide-open division. I think anyone can pick five or, you know, two or three teams that can actually win the ACC.
So who is your actual pick?
My actual pick is Clemson. I'm kind of torn. I still look at the tape, but I'll say Clemson just because I don't know. I'm just trying to, you know, pick somebody for the sake of the show's purposes. So there you go.
America, he's not picking his favorite college team, Georgia Tech. He's going with Clemson. That's a complete shocker there. But I'm going to go – this one is definitely another interesting as well. Not as hard as the Big Ten, but I think you can make a strong case for Clemson. You can also make a strong case for Virginia Tech. I think Logan Thomas has a chance to be a top five or a top 10 draft pick. in this upcoming NFL draft. But I'm going to go with Florida State. I think from top to bottom, they have the most talent in the conference. And I think last year prevented them from winning ACC. And I just like their team. Jimbo Fisher has done a heck of a job recruiting the last 3 to 4 years. He really built up the talent on that roster, similar to where they used to have back in the old days under Bobby Bowden. But this is a team that I really like. And I actually think they're a national title contender. I'm not predicting them to be in the championship game, but they are certainly a contender. And I like for them to win the ACC. They got a lot of depth on defense, a lot of talent on defense, a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. Jimbo Fisher is also one of these guys that learned the recruiting ropes from Nick Saban, learned how to run the program from Nick Saban. Although he's more of an offensive-minded coach, where Nick is more defense, but he learned the principles of how to run the program. And I just think Jimbo Fisher is ready to take this program to the next step with ACC. But those of you all who want to join in on our predictions, please call us 424-243-9519 or send us some information over Twitter. Like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with 12th Man, or follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports if you want to give your feedback on some of these predictions. And last but not least, Andre, but I'm sure you want to move on to the SEC.
Yeah, this is obviously the cream of the crop division, and a lot of controversy, as always, because everyone thinks that we get a little bit too much love for the SEC, but obviously it's a tough division, great division. So, you know, you would be kind of remiss, and I'm kind of curious to hear your pick, because I think I know where this is going. Obviously, you got to go with Alabama to win this division, but I'm sure that it could be another toss-up. A lot of strong teams are going to make their way. But, you know, obviously, top to bottom, Alabama machine keeps getting going with Nick Saban, master recruiter, a lot of depth. You know, A.J. McCarron is going to step back in there. And they just keep reloading and getting stronger and stronger. So that's who I think is going to obviously win the SEC.
So you're going with Alabama, huh?
I'm going with Alabama. I am going with Alabama.
All righty. Well, I know you, America, you're going to think I'm being biased. You know, I'm LSU.
Oh, here
we
go.
So I know I'm going to be. You know, those of you all want to get on Twitter.
Honey Badger's been hanging out with Robert Ford too much.
No, not at all. But I'm looking at an LSU-Georgia repeat SEC championship game, and I'm going with LSU again. I know a lot of people, well, not a lot, but some people have knocked LSU slightly down as a result of the Tyrann Mathieu suspension. But when I just look at this LSU team, who just has so much talent, you're looking at 10 of the top 150 potential draft picks in this upcoming draft, even without Tyrann Mathieu. There's just so much talent on defensive line, linebacking core. You still have solid players in the secondary. You may have to rely on a freshman or two to replace Mathieu. I mean, that is a slight concern, but there's just so much talent on the roster. They're loaded at running back, loaded at wide receiver. Expected to have a much better passing game, offensive line. That's Miles. One thing he is great at, you know, we'll always have a great offensive line. I still think overall this team is talented enough to where, I mean, they get Alabama at home, and even though this SEC championship game will be in Atlanta, I still think LSU can go up there and beat Georgia again for the SEC title. And I think LSU will beat Georgia, and LSU, once again, will be a strong contention for a national title again.
Yeah, I kind of saw that one coming. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, obviously a good pick. And, you know, they do have a lot of experience. Now, obviously, you got a nice, interesting quarterback, Zach Mettenberger, coming in there. So, obviously, if he can do what he can, he's obviously clearly, I think, a little more talented than the other two quarterbacks. So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, LSU is definitely going to be up there, which is kind of why it's a tough pick. So we will keep an eye on everything. And like you said, definitely call us, man. Give us your thoughts. Are we crazy? Are we nuts? Whatever. Fight for your school. Tell us what you think. I went with my head as opposed to my heart this time because I'm always going to pick Georgia Tech. But, you know, like I said, we'll see how everything plays out with everything as well. Real quick, Rob, if we want to, I know we kind of talked about, we got about 15 minutes on the show. Is it okay to talk about the 12th man league stuff you want to jump right into? You think we have some time to talk about some top 25 matchups? You want to talk about our 12th man leagues?
I'll tell you what, let's finish up our college football preview here with our national championship predictions, and then we can move on to our fantasy leagues and the we only have two games of top 25 matchups, but let's really quick give our wrap up our college football preview, who we think will be in the national championship game and who we think is going to win it. The game will be played in Miami this year, the BCS National Championship game. And I'm going to go with LSU versus USC. I've been sticking with that for about 4 or 5 months now. I'm going to stick with that matchup. And I still like the LSU to pull it out in the close one for the national title. I'm going with LSU versus USC with LSU slight victory.
I'm going to go with Alabama versus USC. How you like them apples? And I'm gonna go with Alabama just pulling out because of the strong defensive effort. That defense is gonna be a little bit a little stronger. It's gonna be a close game, probably like a 27-24, something like that. But I think Alabama's gonna pull it out. So that's my prediction for the national championship game.
All right, not bad. There you have it. Mark it down. You know, disagree with us, agree with us. Let us know on Facebook and Twitter. Once again, you can like us, Talking Sports with 12 Man on Facebook, or you can follow us at 12 Man Sports, or call us 424-243-9519. And Andre, you want to move forward, and we can get to our fantasy leagues here really quick. Of course, our college pick'em since college football has already started. That league is now closed. Real quick, you can still sign up to join us for survival football. NFL season kicks off on Wednesday, so we have about 4 or 5 more days for you to sign up for survival football. The group ID on Yahoo Sports is 5618, and our password is footballers, all lowercase. Once again, you're going to compete with us in survival football, and the group ID is 5618. Password is footballers, all lowercase. Once again, we would love for you all to join us and compete with us in survival football this year. Once again, the NFL season does kick off on Wednesday night next week, so please sign up before Tuesday to compete with us in survival football. And Andre, you have some information on the Fantasy Football League?
Yeah, the same thing. Like I said, feel free to join us for that. Rob, you may have the passage for that as well. I don't have those written in front of me, too, so just if you want to fill those out there as well. We're actually going to think about opening up a secondary league, too, as well. So if you want to join in, definitely let us know, because if we have some extra slots, we would love to have you aboard. Just to kind of bring that camaraderie, it's a big thing. Ladies, feel free to join as well. We definitely don't discriminate. We love to see some diversity, having some fun with that. If you can stomach a lot of the some of the trash talking, which is pretty mild, I would say. But definitely join in, and we'd love to get your feedback as well for that.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, moving right along, I guess now I had us getting some top 25 matchup predictions, but I guess we can either go either individual games and or we can talk a little bit about a very controversial analyst talking about Notre Dame, saying that they needed to have an edge with getting some bad citizens on the team to win. This is something that was said by Alan Pinkett, I want to say.
Yes, Alan Pinkett, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish player.
Yeah.
Well, I think where Alan Pinkett is going with this is you need some players with some leadership, you need some players with some swag, and I think that's what he's saying Notre Dame is lacking. And I don't think, he's meaning, players for being bad citizens going out and rob and kill and things of that nature. I don't think that's what he meant at all when he made this comment. But I think he's just saying Notre Dame needs some players with some swag, with some attitude that has great leadership and great motivational skills on the team. And to compete, and I kind of agree with him. I mean, if they're going to take that next step, you got to have some players like that on your ball club to kind of take charge. And you just have to have that. I mean, we talked about the Miami Heat in the NBA, and personally, I was the one who thought LeBron James was too nice. He didn't have enough swag. Until he got the swagger is when he got his first NBA title. I think over the years, he's just been too nice and friendly, And but you have to have a little bit of swag and leadership, take charge kind of mentality. And I think that's what Notre Dame as a program is lacking on the field. You need those kind of players in your program that can show that kind of leadership and take swag.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and maybe it's one of those things that, you know, we keep talking about. We've had a lot of controversial off-field stuff this year, a lot of stories we can talk about. And maybe if the choice of words is not the right thing that he should say, you know, bad citizens. You know, maybe he should meet some players with a little bit more, you know, little dog in them or something like that, I guess. I don't know the right wording that he could have tried to use, try to clean it up. But, you know, definitely – it's tough. You know, we don't need choir boys, obviously, but you definitely have to have some players that do provide a certain thing of toughness. You know, there are certain players in the NBA that have been known to have their silent assassins. And I think you kind of have that mentality as far as having a will, whether it's a competitiveness in you, just to kind of have a will to win. But, you know, like I said, it's definitely told in line because, you know, I like thinking of myself as a nice guy, you know. So, you know, obviously – I'm not going to, you know, do certain things across lines because that's just not in my nature. But, you know, every now and then you may run into a teammate or something like that kind of brings a certain element out of you. And it's good to have that on the team, you know. And like I said, as long as you say they're not, you know, robbing folks and, you know, doing illegal stuff, that definitely is kind of where I think Alan was talking about. Maybe his choice of words weren't the right choice of words because obviously – you know, we kind of think of that me and being towards more of an African-American thing, you kind of, you know, more of a thug thing, so you have to kind of watch what you're saying with that, too. So I just think, you know, maybe could have been a little bit more clear as far as describing what type of players he was looking for, you know?
I would totally agree with that. The choice of words could have definitely been better. And I don't think that's what he actually meant, but, you know, he definitely could have used a better choice of words in the program. And I slightly agree with him. And, you know, exactly what he meant as far as the kind of players that Notre Dame needs in their program. But really quick, we have two games this weekend. Anybody that was listening to our show last year on College Football Time, every week we make our predictions for the two for games that have top 25 teams, two top 25 teams going head-to-head against each other. We only have two of those kind of games this coming weekend, and we're going to get started with the 24th-ranked Boise State against the 13th-ranked Michigan State Spartans. And it will actually be tomorrow night. So we have Friday night games on for college football here on tomorrow night. So Boise State against Michigan State. I'm going with the Michigan State Spartans. Boise State is going to be, in my opinion, a little bit down to what they have been in the last few years without Kellen Moore. It's still going to be a solid football program. Probably will still win 9 to 10 games, but they won't have a season like an 11-1 kind of year, in my prediction. I like Michigan State tomorrow night.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely losing Kellen Moore, obviously a senior quarterback. That's going to hurt them, and you're exactly on point. They're going to have to do some things as far as, you know, the new guy has to come in there and kind of prove themselves. And they're going to be a very solid team, but, you know, like I said, Michigan State has a lot of stuff going for them this year. And I think they're definitely going to pull it out. I think it's going to be a little closer than what we think, but I definitely think Michigan State's going to actually pull that one out.
And the only other game with the big game of the weekend, 8th-ranked Michigan Wolverines against the number 2-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide.
Ooh.
Saturday game of the weekend in college football. We played in Dallas in the Jerry Jones Dome. And of course, I despise Alabama a little bit, but I have to give them a lot of credit. I think they're going to win this game, and I think they're going to win it pretty handily. I'm looking at like a 27-10 kind of victory, Alabama over Michigan. I just think the SEC is just far superior to the Big Ten right now, and I just like Alabama in this matchup.
Yeah, you're not going with like Lee Mayweather and betting $3 million on Michigan. You're not doing that, man.
No, not at all.
Floyd Mayweather is going to bet $3 million. You must have money
to
throw out the book.
I still wouldn't put it on Alabama. I'm sorry,
oh,
I wouldn't
man.
Put it on Michigan.
You put it on, okay, I'm glad you clarified that. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, he must have a lot of money to burn. Cause he actually, the according to a couple of various reports, he's actually waging a lot of money on Michigan. So it is a 14-point spread against Alabama, and I definitely think that Alabama's going to win this game too. So Floyd, somebody needs to talk to him as far as his choices, because that's not a good move. It's going to be a tough game for Michigan. I think Alabama's going to pull us out without any problem.
Yes, I totally agree with that. Alabama, I mean, they do have to replace some pieces on defense, but I think it's going to be still a pretty strong year for them, even though I think LSU is going to be slightly better. I definitely think they'll clean up on Michigan pretty well tomorrow, on Saturday night. I'm sorry.
Love it, love it, love it. We got about 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes to go to the show. We can discuss a little bit some NFL stuff if you want. I don't know if you want to wrap up anything for anything you want to highlight for college football, anything for this weekend. There are a couple of matchups, I think, but those are the main ones that I guess we could discuss, if I'm not mistaken. As I'm checking out, I'm looking at the schedule real quick, Rob, just to make sure. But, yeah, I think we're good to go. Like I said, about 4 minutes ago. And, woohoo! Nothing about
really quick, what I'd like to touch on is the Maurice Jones-Drew situation in Jacksonville. I know we're about to get into our OT portion of the show. I know we touched on this a little bit on last week, but he's still yet to report. It seems like all of the other big-name players, Mike Wallace reported here on a couple of days ago, Maurice Jones-Drew is still holding out. Jacksonville is adamant they're not going to trade him. So just a little curious. I still believe he'll either be back week one or week two. I don't think he's that stubborn to sit out the whole season and not collect any money. And Jacksonville seems to be steadfast. They're not going to trade him. And just a little bit surprised that he hasn't reported yet.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a pretty model citizen as far as everything that's been going on. I know watching the game today, obviously, we played the Jacksonville played the Falcons for their last preseason game, and they were actually auditioning a lot of different running backs to see just in case. Obviously, they are a much better team with Maurice Jones-Drew. There's no doubt about that. Justin Blackmon did his thing, too, but it's just it's like a piece is missing without him there, too, so... You know, hopefully both sides will come to some type of agreement, whether it's like, hey, you know, we'll take care of you some way, somehow, if you just kind of come in and, you know, maybe keep a little hush-hush. But, you know, as mentioned, you think that he's going to come back without any problem, at least probably early this season. I don't think he's going to sit out the whole year, as you mentioned.
Yes. Well, we're about to go into our OT portion. We kind of want to wrap up our live portion of the show for those of you all. In our OT portion tonight, we're going to be making our NFC predictions. We'd love for you all to be able to tune in and listen to, click the link and listen on tomorrow. But just to preview for next week, we'll be back to our normal night of Wednesday night on next week. And we'll be predictions for the AFC. We'll be making our predictions for week two in college football. And even doing some recap of week one in college football. So you don't want to miss our show next Wednesday night. That will be September 5th. You don't want to miss that program, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. Once again, like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man, and follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. If you disagree or agree with anything we said tonight, please let us know.
Definitely, definitely. And as Rob mentioned, we'll post some information about all of our fantasy leagues, from survival to college football. Pick 'em, all that fun stuff. And it's definitely not too late to join in. If you want to join, feel free to definitely join in and kind of follow us, you know, just tell us your thoughts and everything like that, as well as listen to a lot of the archive shows, too. So we are here to have some fun and just, you know, just kind of throw it up. So that's what we do every Wednesday, as mentioned, Talking for the 12th Man. I guess, Rob, anything else to say as we wrap up, as we get ready for the OT portion of the show?
Once again, tune in to listen to our AFC predictions for next Wednesday night. And you can listen to our OT portion for our NFC predictions. You can listen to that on tomorrow. You can definitely tune in. But definitely those of you all on the Gulf Coast, I mentioned some communities earlier, Slidell, Plaquemine Parish. We're definitely praying for you all and for speedy recovery to your properties. And we definitely have you all in our hearts and in our prayers. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thanks for joining in. We're here. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Check us out via Twitter at the number 12 Man Sports, and tell your friends, family, all that fun stuff. And we are here every Wednesday. Thank you for everyone that listens to the archive show. We will see you guys next week. I'm not going to say super shout, but Dre and Rob are out. We move on. Thanks for listening. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. The countdown begins as we get ready to go into the OT portion of our show. And, yeah, this is an interesting point because we're going to jump right into a certain topic, and this is something that everyone across the NFL is definitely not happy with this, and the fact that we're still having the NFL replacement refs. This is something that I think has been going on a little too long. If you've been watching a lot of the preseason games, obviously we know that just with anything, with there's an adjustment for even the players from college to the pros. Now it seems like the officials are taking some time to get adjusted to the game. Now it's tough because I think in our heart of hearts, it's okay if we have the refs just, you know, it's kind of this ramp-up time. But on the flip side of it, certain calls are taking too long. It kind of seems like the games are lasting a little longer than need to be for, you know, basic calls. And it seems like that, like you said earlier, like last week you mentioned, that it seems like the refs are the stars of the show versus the actual players in the game. So I don't know what the NFL is doing, but they got to make a move really, really quick.
Yeah, I just think this is one of those situations where Roger, the dictator Goodell, yeah, I said it, Roger, the dictator Goodell, is making another huge mistake by not getting the NFL referees. I really think overall, I will say I did watch the Saints and the Tennessee Titans play tonight, and, you know, I will say out of all the preseason games I've watched, I thought this one was the best officiated of them all. And but, you know, it's still a little discomforting because the speed of the game just goes to another level once the regular season starts. And I just don't think these guys are ready. One of the things I heard Lomas Brown talk about today, especially the head linesman and the line judge, he don't think that these guys are equipped to be able to manage the line of scrimmage or in the trenches. But I think the worst calls in the preseason have been pass interference calls. And these are replacement officials having a hard time judging what's pass interference and what's not pass interference. To me, those are some of the worst officiating calls that I've seen thus far in the preseason. But I will say, like I said, tonight was the best officiated preseason game with the replacement refs that I've seen. So my hope is that these guys are getting better. But what I am concerned about is that once the regular season starts, these games go to a whole nother level. And the speed of the game just goes up to a whole nother level. And I'm not sure these guys are prepared for it. And I just can't understand why the NFL is nitpicking over chump change to them. I mean, you're talking about a business that, you know, accrued over $9 billion last season. And we can't ensure to make sure we're going to have a great product by having our best officials in the country, you know, officiating these games. So I'm afraid that the product is not going to be the same. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm afraid of that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too. You know, we've survived through the potential with the new CBA, and believe it or not, I definitely think that, you know, a lot of the things that the players put in as far as less practice time, I think it does hurt the game. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of tough because you would think that, you know, you want to protect the players, and that's kind of the whole goal behind the new CBA. But sometimes if players get what they want, you know, I don't know. It seems like if you're watching a lot of things, too, maybe they're not tackling as much or, you know, maybe they're not. I don't know. It seems like it's kind of like there's sort of a little bit of that kind of the remnants of that, too. So, you know, as we mentioned, we're talking about this and we're talking about the whole refs. And you hope that one of these refs don't have to come down to a decision where it affects the ending of the game. So, you know, the NFL – it's so tight as far as the talent, and, you know, one swing could actually, you know, obviously put you out of the playoffs or vice versa. So it's a lot of pressure for these guys to get the calls right. So, you know, I never thought we'd actually say we actually miss the refs, but we do miss you guys. And so I know they don't get, like, a lot of love. But, you know, like I said, they say the old saying, you don't miss anything until it's gone. So, you know, yeah, we need to have the regular guys back and making the right calls and, you know, and go from there.
Exactly. Well, we're going to recap our show, probably spend the rest of our OT portion talking about our NFC predictions. As we all know, the season kicks off on Wednesday night with the Giants and the Cowboys. We have the NFC East clash to kick off the season. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to cover the NFC tonight. We can cover the AFC next week, or maybe we can even cover the AFC tonight if we have time permits. But let's at least get into the NFC, and let's why not start with the NFC East since they're going to kick off the season. The NFC East, I earlier predicted the Philadelphia Eagles to win the East, but I'm a little bit concerned about the Philadelphia Eagles now. I'm a little bit concerned about Michael Vick staying healthy. And not. And I'm also a little bit concerned about their offensive line as well. I think that losing a left tackle, Jason Peters, I think it really hurt them. He's out for the season. And I'm really concerned about that. I still think that team has a lot of talent, a lot of potential, could very well still win this division. But I'm going to take the safe pick on winning the NFCs. I'm going to go with the New York Giants. And I'm going to say the Giants are going to have a better record than they had last year. They were about 9-7. I can see this team easily going by 11-5, 12-4. I still like the Eagles to finish second and be a possible contender for the playoffs. We'll get into our wild card predictions after we predict each division here. I like the Eagles second. I'm going with the Cowboys third, and I'm going with the Redskins taking up the rear in the NFC East.
Yeah, pretty interesting, you know, predictions as well, because we had the same thing as well. It's tough because as much as I would like to pick the Eagles, and I kind of have a love-hate relationship with them, you know, like you said, you got to go with what's been happening in the preseason. They just don't look as good. Obviously, they still have some problems with a couple injuries. And the Giants are kind of, you know, they are the defending Super Bowl champions, so I guess you got to go with them, even though they have a lot of injuries in the back end of secondary. But until somebody knocks them off, they are the team to beat, and I definitely agree with you. We have the exact same order as far as that. I know a couple of weeks ago we actually picked the Eagles to actually win that division, but, you know, things do change. That's the beauty of having some options to kind of go back and look at everything too. So, yeah. I think it's going to be Giants, like I said, Eagles, Cowboys, and Redskins, too. Glory Hole, whatever, Jerry Jones, and babysitting, you know, you can keep that to yourself, too. So we'll see how that plays out for now.
Well, let's move on to the NFC North. And this is a division I think is still going to be won by the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, probably had the best quarterback season in the NFL last year, maybe right neck and neck with Drew Brees on last season. But I like the Packers in this division. Still a little concerned about their running game. I mean, maybe Cedric Benson can help them. And also there's a slight concern about depth along the offensive line as well. When you have the franchise quarterback, one of the things you must have is an offensive line to protect that quarterback, and I think that's what cost the Packers in a playoff against the Giants. They just could not protect Aaron Rodgers. So that is a slight concern. But I guess every team in the league probably has some form of a weakness, even the great ones. But I still like the Packers in this division. I like the Lions taking up second place. I think this is still the team that's on the rise. A lot of young talent. Matthew Stafford, rocket for it all. Kelvin Johnson, the freak. Megatron, this guy is by far, well, I'm not going to say by far, but he's the best wide receiver in the league, in my opinion. I like the Chicago Bears here, and I think this is a strong number three team in the NFC North. I think as of right now, this might be the toughest division in the league with those top three teams. And I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. I still think they are definitely a few years away from competing, and I think they'll bring up the rear in the NFC North.
Let's hear it for Detroit. What? No, I'm just joking. Yeah, it's the same exact thing, definitely. I would have picked Detroit earlier, but now due to the fact, defensively, I don't think they're quite – that's kind of hard for me to say, too. They have a lot of talent, you know, obviously offensively. So, you know, once again, it seems like you're in my brain tonight. And we picked this before earlier. We're calling this the black and blue division. It's definitely going to be Green Bay. They're up there. If you like what you've been reading for Sports Illustrated and Peter King, he asked them going to the Super Bowl, which would be a really good pick. You would think that they're going to bounce back and get that defense back on track with Tom Capers. So, yeah, it's Green Bay, number one. Detroit, number two. The Chicago Bears, even though I don't really trust Jay Cutler, they're going to be number three. And as you mentioned, the Vikings, they have a lot of things to do. One back, Adrian Peterson, I don't think he's 100% healthy. He's going to come back too fast. I think they're going to suffer for that. And, you know, they got some time to rebuild, definitely.
All right, moving right along. We've got about close to 5 minutes left on our OT portion tonight. Let's get into the NFC West here. And I still think the 49ers are by far the best team in this division. And I'm going to say the Seattle Seahawks can be a sleeper here. And I think they're going to come up second. I think the 49ers by far have the most talented roster. Maybe might have the most talent of any team in the NFL. But their quarterback position is still a little suspect. But the rest of the talent, I think, continues to uplift Alex Smith. They win this division. I like Seattle, even with the rookie quarterback, Russell Wilson, to come in second. And I actually like the Rams to come in third. I think Arizona has a real issue here at quarterback. And I think Arizona, Miami, Minnesota, those franchises are going to be battling for the worst record in the league this season. So I think Arizona will come in last.
Who do you have battling for the worst record? Who do you have? You have Miami. Who else?
Miami, Arizona. Minnesota, Arizona. As of now, I'm going to say Miami is going to have the worst record in the league.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good as well. I think they're going to be looking for their next wide receiver in the draft, too. So we'll talk about that later on, too. But to get weapons for Tannehill. But, yeah, this is another tough division as far as after the 49ers, who are clearly the team to beat in that division. It's tough because, I don't really trust Seattle, but I don't know who else is there. So, in any indication, you would think that, the Rams have Sam Bradford there in the position. They seem like they have a talented team, Rob. You know, you have a good running back in Steven Jackson. Now, I know he's getting a little older. I don't know if the Rams have a lot of weapons offensively, but, that's one of the teams that it can go either or. So, I'm agreeing with you. It's definitely going to be a toss-up between two and three, but if you put a gun to my head, I would probably go with the Rams right now over Seattle. I know it's tough with the rookie quarterback. That would be me. And obviously you're going to have the Cardinals bring it up the rear because they still have to get that quarterback situation solved. Whether that's, getting Matt Barkley in the draft or a Landry Jones, they're definitely going to be in the market for that as the season goes on too. So sorry, Arizona fans. And, Larry Fitzgerald, no matter how talented he is, you have to have somebody get the ball to him too. So that's my prediction for the NFC West.
Moving right along, we've only got a few minutes left. Last but not least, I kind of got an idea where we are going to be picking in the NFC South. As you all know, he's a Falcons fan, I'm a Saints fan, and so I kind of have an idea where we're both going to be going with our NFC South predictions. And let's get right to it. I still think Drew Brees is the best quarterback in the division, and certainly right up there with Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the NFC. So I still have to go with the Saints. And they got a little bit of a chip on the shoulder this season, so I think it's going to help them this year. Not that they didn't have one last year, but I'm still looking at the Saints winning this division. I like Atlanta second. I like Carolina three. I think Carolina and Atlanta are going to be really tight for that second spot. But I like Carolina to be three. And Tampa Bay, I still think they're a few pieces away before competing. And they just lost their starting guard, Davin Joseph, so I think they'll be last in the division.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting pick, Rob. I didn't see that one coming at all. I didn't think you were going to make that pick, man. So it kind of caught me off guard with that. So, obviously, we're both going to be battling this. We're going to go with, I guess where I'm going. I'm going with the Falcons, number one, Saints, number two, Carolina, three, and Buccaneers, fourth. But this is interesting, too. And obviously, I'm going to ask something to you as a Saints fan. Because it's interesting to get feedback from different sources and stuff like that. And people are saying that Steve Spagnuolo, the new defensive coordinator for the Saints, he's not a fan of the blitz and, live by the blitz, die by the blitz option that Greg Williams did. So he's trying to get more of a solid team, and he's kind of obviously rushing with the front four. And they're saying that is not kind of how the Saints are built right now. So I don't know if you have any thoughts about that because, we probably don't have too much time and maybe we'll talk about this next week, but that's kind of the thing that we keep hearing about it. And obviously Drew Brees, I respect him as a quarterback, talented guy. So, anytime you have him, you're definitely in every single game too. So we'll see how that plays. I just want to get your thoughts on that as we get ready to wrap up the show.
Well, real quick, I'll just make a quick comment on a defensive comment regarding Spagnuolo. The Saints' defensive line, I will have to say, is about 10 times better than they were under Greg Williams already. So I think you're going to see some different things. And I think defense for the Saints have been very impressive. And you can see there's going to be a lot better this coming up season. But real quick, my wild cards for the NFC will be Detroit Lions and Chicago Bears. And Andre's are?
Yeah, same thing. Detroit, like I said, tough division. Chicago Bears as well. I don't trust Jay Cutler, though, but I'll give that to you guys. I can't pick anybody.
My NFC champion will be the New Orleans Saints.